The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We are returning to the issue of UK politics. The new cabinet is meeting across the water with a press conference due to be held thereafter. I'm joined by Andrew Pearce, journalist and broadcaster and political analyst. Andrew, good to talk to you. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Andrew, one of our own, Fionnán Sheehan, I was quoting him earlier on, he's the Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, and he described Keir Starmer's support as being a mile wide and an inch deep because he has a huge majority, but two-thirds of the people against him by virtue of only getting 36% of the popular vote. I imagine that creates a tricky mandate because he needs to win support for any policy positions he is intending to adopt. What will that mean for the first cabinet meeting?
Well, he's going to have to say that they really have got to take into account this result, because it's more serious than that in a sense, because of the first past the post. They have got the biggest majority since Tony Blair in 1997, and although it was only on 34% of the votes, the turnout in the election was the second lowest in over 100 years, only 60%, which means effectively he's got this huge mandate with just 20% of the population. So 80% didn't vote for him. Now, that's pretty sobering, although they won't let that spoil the moment, because let's not deny him, he's had a decisive victory. But the conservative beast hasn't been slaughtered and put out of its misery forever. The worst case scenario projections didn't come to pass. But he will be very worried about the rise of Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party. Now, they've only got five MPs, but Reform was second in nearly 100 Labour constituencies in what we used to call the Red Wall in the northern Labour heartlands, which Boris Johnson won for the first time in 2019, but which all felt went back to Labour in this election. And immigration is one of the big issues there, and Brexit still, believe it or not. And if he doesn't deliver on immigration, says he's going to stop the small boats by smashing the gangs, you can see that Farage's reform will become a major threat, not just to the Tories, but to Labour.
Can you explain why the immigration caused the swing to reform rather than conservative? Because the conservative policies in respect of immigration had been as red in tooth and claw as we had seen from any government. I mean, the Rwanda policy was resoundingly detested by all and sundry outside of the UK, but it was a clear aim to keep reform at bay.
It was, but the fact is they never got the planes off the ground, and there was a suspicion that Rishi Sunak went early for the general election because the first plane was due to take off in just a couple of weeks' time. Well, if the human rights lawyers have their way, that plane will be grounded again. But the other thing on immigration was it wasn't just about the small boats. Legal migration into this country last year was just over 750,000. If you take into account the number of people who left the country, actually the numbers of people who came in was well over 1 million. That's a major city coming in every year. Reform say we would stop that and kill that dead. And the Tories were saying we are going to cut it. Well, they'd had 14 years. Why hadn't they so far? They have brought in some measures to try to do that, about dependents of students who come here, dependents of carers who come to work in the NHS. But those figures hadn't been shown up in the immigration figures yet, although ironically, they will be in the next set we see perhaps in 6 weeks' time.
So what's your expectation for when Keir Starmer comes out of the cabinet meeting? Is he going to lay out a job of work for the coming weeks?
I guess he will. I mean, we pretty much know what he wants to do. The NHS will be the priority. There's no doubt about it. The NHS is sick. It's not working. It's not functioning, in my view. It needs major reform, major surgery, if you pardon the pun. I think they've got to bring in private solutions because it just cannot function in the way it is. We've got waiting lists of 7.5 million people on the waiting list. It's all been exacerbated, of course, by COVID, an older population. And of course, Reform will say massive inward migration is putting even more pressure on the NHS. So that's going to have to be his priority first and foremost. But there will still be people looking at the Prime Minister and saying, what are you going to do about the cost of living crisis? Because that was still the number one issue. And although inflation did fall down to 2% in the last measure, it doesn't mean prices aren't going up. Prices are still going up. Fuel bills are still a major issue, and they've They're about to go up again big time in the autumn. So what's he going to say? What's he going to do? And in my view, he was far too risk averse in that general election campaign, far too risk averse. He was so far ahead. I think he could have been genuinely radical in the way young Tony Blair was all those years ago back in 1997. And, you know, I was in Downing Street when Blair marched up number 10 to number 10 in 97, and the crowds were exuberant. The excitement there was palpable. And Keir Starmer and his wife Victoria tried, in my view, to recreate that yesterday. It just didn't have quite the same ring to it, because it just really isn't the great sense of excitement about this new Labour government. What it really is just a great sense of relief that the Tories have gone.
Well, is that the thing that we take away from this election? That at its heart, it wasn't won by Labour. It
Absolutely.
Was catastrophically lost by the Tories.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. That you cannot, in my view, look, and I speak as one who, my Twitter handle is Tory Boy Pierce. I speak as one who, I'm on the centre right. You can't have five prime ministers between 2016 and 2024 and not expect the electorate to get mighty fed up with you. They've been engaged in civil war. The Liz Truss experiment was a disaster, 49 days, and she paid the price by losing her seat yesterday, the shortest serving prime minister in history. But and Rishi wasn't a very good campaigner. It was a fatal mistake to go early. But I thought again and again, I kept saying to the Tories, the polls aren't moving because people aren't listening. They've made their mind up. You've had 14 years. They just sick to the back teeth of you. They don't want to hear about any more Tories. And that's why Labour and Keir Starmer won. Frankly, if the Tory party leader said, we think we found a cure for cancer, people said, thank you very much, we'll take that. I don't think it would have made much difference to the outcome yesterday. People really had made their mind up. It was time to go. Parties shouldn't win. They were heading to try to win an historic fifth consecutive election victory. It was never going to happen.
You mentioned Liz Truss. On a personal level, the fall from grace for Liz Truss must be extraordinarily difficult to cope with, because to be the shortest serving British Prime Minister, to have the catastrophe over the economy that she had, to have the impact that she did on the polling of her own party, and then to be, I imagine it is a very elite group of prime ministers from the previous administration to then immediately lose their parliamentary seat. That has to be awful.
Devastating. I can't think it's ever happened before. I'd got wind of the fact that she could lose, and again there was a reform candidate standing against who took about 9,000 votes. But interestingly, there was an independent Tory stood against who polled about 6,000 votes, because they said she was a stay away constituency MP, because after she lost the premiership, what she should have done was buried herself in her constituency and worked very hard. Instead, she was flying around the world to America and other such far-flung countries, preaching her virtue of Toryism, which had been decisively rejected by the markets, oblivious to the looming iceberg which the HMS Truss was sailing towards. She's finished now, and yet just a few weeks, months ago, she set up a new think tank group, Popular Conservatism, which had big financial backers. Well, they're looking pretty stupid now, because Liz Truss now, her career, as far as I can see it, is completely over, and I can't see any Tory leader is going to recommend putting her in the House of Lords, because they'll want shot of her. They won't want to be reminded of her.
You mentioned the challenges for Keir Starmer's new government, and that inflation and cost of living and all of those financial matters will be of prime concern for the electorate. That'll fall, obviously, in the bailiwick of Rachel Reeves, the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, first female Chancellor of the Exchequer. Yeah. She has her work cut out. Are there any other particular cabinet appointments that you would point to as being notable? Because obviously she is both for the task ahead of her and for the fact of her gender being the first ever female in the role.
Well, I think the Deputy Prime Minister is always interesting, Angela Rayner. She's the first female Deputy Prime Minister, and her pitch is she wants to deal with issues like child poverty and trade union reform. So the Tory party has always been quite strong on trade union reforms, or they used to be, although the last administration was just beset by strikes all the time. She's one to watch, and she's also hugely ambitious, very popular. She has a quite a difficult relationship with Rishi's. We forget that the prime minister's changed. She has a very difficult relationship with Keir Starmer, the prime minister. Deputies often do. And he'll be looking over his shoulder at her the whole time. So she'll be interesting. David Lammy as foreign secretary. A lot of people thought he might not get that job. He'd been the shadow foreign secretary. He'll be only our second foreign secretary of colour. He's from the Caribbean. His family's from the Caribbean. He's an interesting appointment. Who else? But no, I would say they're the big ones. And of course, Yvette Cooper is Home Secretary. She's got her work cut out on immigration. She really has. And if she doesn't succeed, she'll be in difficulty. And the other one I'd mention, and I said this to him just a couple of weeks ago, well, good luck being Secretary of State for Health, Wes Streeting. He's the man who was never off the television during the election campaign. Incidentally, nearly lost his seat to an independent Muslim candidate because four of those won seats in Parliament in the election yesterday, basically on a ticket of opposing Labour for not wanting an unconditional ceasefire in the war in Gaza. But I think Wes Streeting has got the most Herculean task because I don't think he's going to be able to cut these waiting lists any time soon. And a Labour Party will be hugely impatient for a Labour government to deliver on waiting lists and quickly. But there's not the money because they've not pledged to raise any extra money from higher taxes. And I don't see how he's going to turn those waiting lists around anytime soon. And if he doesn't, there'll be a clamour for a new Secretary of State for Health, which would be difficult for him because a lot of people think he'll be the next Labour leader after Keir Starmer.
And of course, the big challenge he has is the ultimate poison chalice of having spent a number of years being the shadow spokesperson for health means, OK, now go deliver on all that you have criticised in the preceding years. That is a tricky task. Now, let me ask you one final thing. I was speaking yesterday, I was on the Standing in the Hard Shoulder, and I was speaking to Stanley Johnson. And Boris Johnson's father pointed out that the only time that in recent memory that the Conservative Party had been able to hold back the tide of the Reform Party and get anything like 40-50% in terms of popular vote polling was when his son had been at the helm. Is there any prospect that Conservatives will think like that and Johnson will do a Trump?
Well, Johnson certainly wants to do a Trump. He hasn't got a seat, that's the first thing, and it's not going to be very difficult for any Tory candidate to win a seat in the next couple of years, in my view, because there's no such thing as a safe seat. His old seat of Henley, by the way, has gone Conservative. So there will be many Tory candidates and canvassers who will be clamouring for the return of Boris. It won't happen in the interim, but if the polls don't, if they pick and whoever gets the job, frankly, in the next few months, if I was in charge of the Tory party, I would go to an elder statesman to be a caretaker leader for 18 months so they can rebuild, rethink, decide how they want to approach this massive Labour majority, how they take on Nigel Farage, because he is the elephant in the room. But at some point, Boris will try and come back, but it won't be anytime soon. But my own hunch is we've seen the last of him.
Although on the thing of a caretaker, you know that old line about it, in life it is best to be preceded or succeeded by a knave. Is there not a unique opportunity now to take over as leader of the Conservatives? Because by comparison, if you do very little, you'll be a roaring success.
Well, there's something for that. There is something for that. I mean, look, nobody was listening to Rishi Sunak for the last 6 months, and they certainly weren't listening to him in the election campaign. Nobody's going to listen to the next leader of the opposition. They're not interested. They just want the next. They just want the Prime Minister and the Cabinet to get on with it and deliver. And I suspect there's going to be a lot of really, really disappointed people quite quickly, which is why I think the idea that this Labour government is in for the next 10, 15 years is for the birds. I've never known politics so fluid in this country. Remember, the Tories had a majority of 80 in 2019. Labour had its worst result since 1935. The Tories have just gone down to their worst result ever.
Andrew, thank you so much. That is Andrew Pearce. And that was Andrew Pearce, obviously, with his day job of political analysis. If you recognize his voice, you might know that the last time we talked about him was about his personal memoir called Finding Margaret, which is a fabulous story of a search for his birth mother. And if you get a chance, available in all good bookshops now. Andrew Pearce, thank you again. Texas say the Conservatives have stripped the UK bare. Starmer has a tough job ahead of him, almost impossible. Such a change since I left the UK in 2016. Glad I didn't stay. People who were doing okay financially have been pushed into poverty.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.